Today is the 15th anniversary of 9/11. And if you were alive that day, you of course remember where you were when that took place and when you first heard about it. Our nation truly was changed forever on that day, wasn't it? My heart's been heavy last night and this morning. My wife told me this morning we were getting ready and she said, "What's you're so quiet?" And she said, I said, "Well, I'm thinking about the messages I'm preaching today. My heart is heavy for one of our members, Brother Bob Keller. Brother Bob's a faithful, good man. He's a good man. And he's facing some very serious health needs right now. Just got a text during the service. We need to be in prayer for him. These next 24 hours are very important in his life. Pray for his wife, Jane. My heart's heavy for that family. My heart's heavy for our nation. I was thinking about 15 years ago where I was. It's hard to believe if you're in high school today or below, they were not alive or they don't remember 9/11. That's hard for me to comprehend. But my heart's heavy for our nation. And thinking back to that day, and by the way, may I just say here at Liberty Baptist Church, we love America. I'm thankful for our nation. And it's not a perfect nation. I understand that, but I love America. I thank God that He has allowed me to be born in America, to live in America. We love police officers here at our church. And I know that in some circles or maybe even whatever news stations, that's not the most popular thing to say these days. Hard to believe that that would ever be the case. And I know that every police officer is not perfect, just like every preacher is not perfect. I understand those things, but I thank God for law enforcement. I thank God for firefighters. I thank God for our first responders. I thank God for our military. And you can find things that are wrong in every one of those areas, just like you can find something wrong in every area. But as we look back on 9/11, let's be thankful for the nation that God's given to us, for those public servants that give their lives for us. And, you know, 9/11, as I think back to that day, September 11th, it was a Tuesday morning. I remember where I was as I was getting ready for that day. And a Tuesday morning, getting ready and heard. And the first one, you thought, well, I wonder, that's really weird. I wonder if that's an accident, that a plane ran into a building. That seems really strange. And that a plane, and then, of course, very quickly, we found out it wasn't an accident. In our nation, collectively, we understood we needed God in that moment. And may I say, we need God today just as much as we did on that moment 15 years ago. Our government understood we needed prayer in that moment. You heard our president speaking, and President George W. Bush speaking there to those at Ground Zero. And he said, "May God bless America." It wasn't politically incorrect to say God bless America in those days. And we still need God to bless America. And we understood that we needed God's house and our government, our president. They asked us to open up our places of worship. I believe it was that Thursday. They made a national day of prayer. And I know at the church that I served at, a good-sized church, on a Sunday morning, that church would have somewhere around 2,500 people in attendance. And that Sunday morning, we couldn't fit the crowd in. We had visitors everywhere. The entire auditorium was packed. I don't know what it was like here at Liberty on that Sunday morning 15 years ago. But may I say, as Americans, we still need God and we still need His Word and we need church as much as we did on that day. And as we remember 9/11, and my message is not all about 9/11, although there'll be some parallels in what we're studying. We're continuing in our series on Reflect, emulating the character of Christ. May I just say, in our country and in our lives and in our nation, let us remember those things. And you'll see in my article, I mentioned some of that. Remember what took place today. There are family members that have been through 15 years of holidays without a loved one because of what took place on that day. And let's remember those folks with a heart of compassion and love. Let's continue to lift our nation up in prayer. And we can say that kind of this big general national thing, but what about us? Do we still recognize our need for God and for His Word as much as we did then? And so, 9/11, today, of course, the 15-year anniversary. Let's remember those and keep them in prayer and thank God for His blessings upon America, for His protection. I was reading, I read about 20, 30 different pages on different things and articles and stories and illustrations on 9/11 over the last couple of weeks, and talked about the fact that with the hundreds of thousands of people that could have died where all of those planes crashed, the small percentage that actually did a great, and that's not to minimize the death of anybody, but a great picture of God's protecting hand and guiding hand through all of that. Today, we looked at Jesus, what a Savior. We studied some of the divine attributes of Christ that you and I cannot emulate. We looked last week at some of the things. We looked at the hypostatic union. We looked at Christ the Creator. We looked at the fact that Christ is God, Jesus, the deity of Jesus Christ. We looked at some of those key doctrines, foundational doctrines of Christ that we need to understand as we now jump into, in some ways, we're going to jump into the humanity of Christ, if you will. Over the next several weeks, we're going to be looking at, now Christ was, we saw that hypostatic union, 100% God, 100% man, perfectly united together, those two distinct natures. My mind cannot comprehend that, I cannot understand that, but I'm glad that I serve a God that my mind cannot fully comprehend. I'm glad I serve an infinite God that my finite brain can't figure out everything about him. And we studied those things last week, the divine nature, because now we're going to be jumping into some of the human characteristics as Christ walked this earth that you and I should seek to be reflecting in our lives. I said this last week, Christ, as he was on earth, and as Christ is 100% God, is 100% man. He had 100% divine nature, a 100% human nature. He did not have a sin nature. Don't get that mixed up if you're visiting. Christ did not sin. He never sinned. He never will sin. He was the perfect God-man, the perfect sacrifice. We studied that last week. And today we're going to jump into the first characteristic that I believe God has led us to on this 9/11 Sunday. If you're visiting, welcome to church today. We're honored that you're with us the first time. As a first-time guest, I hope you'll return and find the wonderful church family that we have found here at Liberty. What a joy it is to serve God's people together here. If you could be, this is kind of a weird question, if you could be a superhero and have a superpower, have you ever thought about what that would be? Maybe it would be to become, you could make yourself invisible. That'd be a pretty cool superpower, right? Your wife walks in and sees your dirty laundry all over the floor for the 500th time, and she says, how many times do I have to ask you? Clean it up. Has it ever happened to anybody? I'm the only one. Okay. And then you could just disappear. That'd be kind of neat, wouldn't it? Certain situations of life. For the kids, you know, you got the report card, and you sit down. Parents say, we got to talk to you, Johnny, about something, and sitting around the table, and they begin to pull the report card out, and you just turn invisible. Wouldn't that be awesome? And they're looking around to find your, or maybe the superpower of maybe lightning bolts. You could, not to kill them, but almost like a long-term taser. You could zap those who get on your nerves. You're in that meeting with that coworker that drags meetings on forever, the annoying coworker, and the staff members, don't look at me, that's not me, all right? And you're in that meeting, and zap, meeting adjourned. You know, you just zap that one, or the family holiday, and the crazy uncle starts to do what every family has, that crazy uncle that does the crazy things, right, and messes everything up, and you use that. Have you ever thought about that? What would be your superpower? Of course, we don't have superpowers, but our society, we're big into superheroes. There's the Marvel comics and the DC comics, and I must admit, I'm not much into superheroes. I haven't seen any of those movies, and the Avengers or Captain America or Iron Man. My wife made me stop reading comic books when we got married, and so I'm not into those things too much, but as we study the attributes of Christ and what we should seek to emulate, I'm going to say that Christ did things that we would view as having amazing power. He did some things with amazing power. He healed the blind. He healed the sick. He raised people from the dead as he walked on earth. He fed 5,000 men besides women and children with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Christ did some amazing things. He cast out demons, what we would call amazing powers that you and I cannot emulate. But today we're going to look at something that is far greater and far more powerful than any of those miraculous works that he did. We're going to look at something that Christ did we should seek to make first and foremost in the life each of us as followers of him. The first characteristic, I believe, fitting on 9/11 that we're going to study is emulating Christ's heroism. Open with me your Bibles, if you will, to John in chapter number 15. John in chapter number 15, emulating Christ's heroism. If you don't have a Bible with you, I believe it's good to follow along in God's word. You'll get more out of the message. There should be one in the pew rack in front of you if you'd like to use that there. John in chapter number 15. What is a hero? We talk about superheroes. If you look up the definition just in the dictionary of what a hero is, it's defined as a person who is admired for great or brave acts. Someone who is admired for great or brave acts. It's also defined as one who shows great courage. So great or brave acts, one who shows great courage. Or another definition for a hero is, it's another term for a submarine sandwich. That's another definition of, when I looked up the dictionary this week, of a hero. We're going to talk about that idea of heroism, not the submarine sandwich, of great or brave acts, of great courage. We've spent much time this year on Sunday mornings in the Gospels as we've been studying. We studied the first series, The Church of Christ, and then we moved into the life of Christ and then the teachings of Christ. And now over the next several Sunday mornings, we're going to be studying the character of Christ. Things in his life that you and I should strive to implement and emulate in our lives. We're going to read John in chapter 15, beginning in verse number 9. The Bible tells us in John 15, verse 9, as the Father hath, what's the word there, church? Loved me, so have I, what's the word? Loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his, what? Love. These things have I spoken unto you, that your that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye, what is that, church? Love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. We're studying, we began last Sunday night, a verse-by-verse series in 1 Corinthians 13, studying this characteristic of biblical charity. We've entitled the series, Love. We'll be back in that series tonight at 5 o'clock, studying Christ-like biblical love and building biblical strong relationships and mending broken ones. But this idea of love, when we think of heroism, when we think of a hero, we often think about the great acts that they did, the wonderful, what a hero. Christ healed that person. He gave sight to the blind. He raised that person from the dead. He was Lazarus' hero because he did that. The truth of the matter in your life and mine, when we say emulating Christ's heroism, that could be a synonym very easily for emulating Christ's love. Because my first thought for you this morning is, from God's word, simply this: love is heroic. Love is heroic. What made Christ a hero for us, and what made Christ a hero for the world? It was his love. How is true heroism displayed, and what does true heroism come from? It comes from a heart of love. It's displayed in love. Verse number 13, the Bible says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Today, all over our country, there are 9/11 memorials and ceremonies and things happening. There are documentaries. I watched one online yesterday, and there are different things happening, telling the story. What is every one of those stories? Most of them are talking about the great heroism, what of someone that was willing to lay down their life for someone they didn't even know. There were willing firefighters and first responders and police officers and civilians willing to rush into the face of danger. As many were running away, they were rushing in. But what is that true heroism? Really what it is, it's a love for a fellow man. A hero is someone who gives himself to help another, to save another, to solve the problems of another. Christ's heroism was displayed in his love. Greater love hath no man. There is no greater act you can do, no greater love you can show than that you lay down your life for your friend. He left the splendors of heaven. Why? Because mankind had an emergency that we couldn't solve. We had an enemy that we couldn't defeat, and he came as a hero, if you will, a hero of love, to change the world, to change your life, to change my eternal destiny. But he didn't use some superpower. You know what he used to change our lives, to change my eternal destiny? He used his love. He laid down his life for you and for me. And then he told us in verse number 9, continue ye in my love. What did he say? As the Father hath sent me, so what? Send I you. The same reason that God sent me to display love, so send I you. You are supposed to show that same heroism, that same love to your fellow man. While the planes were hitting the World Trade Center, 27-year-old Jason Thomas was dropping off his daughter to his mother in Long Island. When Thomas heard what had transpired, he changed in the Marine Corps uniform he had sitting in his trunk. He was a former sergeant who had been out of the Corps for a year, and he sped toward Manhattan. Someone needed help. It didn't matter who, Thomas told the Associated Press. I didn't even have a plan, but I have all this training as a Marine, and all I could think was, my city is in need. Around the same time in Wilton, Connecticut, Dave Carnes was working in his office at Deloitte, watching the attack unfold on TV. We're at war, the former Marine Staff Sergeant said to his colleagues before telling his boss he might not be back for a while, according to Slate. He went and changed into his Marine uniform and drove toward New York City at 120 miles per hour. Once both Marines reached the collapsed towers, the site now covered in ash and debris, they began searching for survivors, but first they found each other. They had little gear with them besides flashlights and a military entrenching tool, it was reported. Along with other first responders, the pair climbed over the dangerous field of metal, concrete, and dust, calling out, United States Marines, if you can hear us, yell or tap. According to Stripes, when they reached a depression in the rubble of what had been the South Tower, he said, I thought I heard someone. So I yelled down, and they replied back that they were New York Port Authority police officers. They asked us not to leave them. Carnes told Thomas to get to a high point to direct rescuers to the site. Then he called his wife on the cell phone and told her to give the New York police his location. The two officers that were buried, William Jimeno and John McLaughlin, were on the main concourse between the towers when the South Tower began to fall. But they made it into a freight elevator before the collapse. They were alive but seriously injured, trapped approximately 20 feet below the surface. According to USA Today, once they heard the voices of the Marines, Jimeno began shouting to code for Officer Down, 813, 813. After they were located amid the unstable mountain of debris, it took rescue workers roughly 3 hours to dig out Jimeno and another eight to reach McLaughlin, who was buried further down. An exhausted Thomas, who never gave his first name, left the site after Jimeno was rescued, but he returned to Ground Zero for the next 2.5 weeks to continue to help. His identity was a mystery until the 2006 film World Trade Center chronicled the rescue of the officers and Thomas emerged from the shadows. Carnes also left after Jimeno came up but helped at the site for another 9 days. After he returned to Connecticut, he went to his reserve center, reenlisted, and later served two tours of duty in Iraq. Why? What caused them? We would call them heroes. They dropped everything they were doing to go there, and because of their time, they rescued two men and saved the lives of two men that maybe would not have survived. And then he continued to go for a couple of weeks, and he reenlisted and went. What led them to what we would call a heroic act? It was love for their fellow man. You say, well, I don't know if I can be a hero. You know how to be a hero? You know how to emulate Christ's heroism? To love people as Christ loved them. To care for people as Christ cared for them. Heroism is displayed in a love for a fellow man that we do or don't know, for a friend or for a stranger. What does heroic love look like? I said, first of all, the fact that love is heroic. Heroic love is, secondly, sacrificial. Heroic love is sacrificial. What does it say? Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. How do we define how great a love is? By how much it costs us, right? How much we give to it. A love that costs nothing is worth nothing. A Christianity that costs nothing is worth nothing. Now, salvation from Christ is free, but it wasn't cheap. It's free for us to get the gift of salvation, but it costs Christ his life and his love. Christ, he gave us everything, and then he tells us in verse number 9, continue ye in my love. He tells us to love one another as I have loved you. He says, love people in a sacrificial manner just like I loved them. Those men that we just saw, those two men, like so many like them, ran into danger while others were running away from it. They were willing to sacrifice their freedom, their safety, and possibly even their lives. They were not living for self or safety because heroic love is sacrificial. It doesn't say, what am I going to get out of this relationship? It says, what can I give to this relationship? It doesn't say, who can help me and serve me? It says, who can I serve? And that's what Christ came. He said, I came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. I came to sacrifice myself to make a difference in the life of someone else. And then he says, as I have loved you, love one another. And so I'm convicted, as I challenge you, we're going to be studying characters of Christ, and I'm challenging you to emulate the character of Christ. How's my sacrificial love? Who am I looking to serve rather than be served by? Who am I willing to sacrifice for? Too many Christians are living for self and for safety, myself included. We should be living a life of sacrificial love, but we're not willing to interrupt our schedule to tell someone of Christ. There's no true love there for our fellow man if we won't even share the gospel of Christ. He said, as I have loved you, love others. And then he defined it. The greatest love is to lay down your life, to sacrifice everything for the good of somebody else. We're not willing to inconvenience our pursuits to serve our spouse or our children. We're not willing to leave our safe and comfortable lives in America to answer God's call to a mission field. We're not willing to adjust our financial budgets to support the work of God or to help somebody in need. Arthur Ashe said, true heroism is remarkably undramatic. It is the urge to serve others at whatever cost. That's why Christ was the ultimate example of a hero, a great or brave act that we can emulate. Now, we can't die for the sins of other people, but we can love people as he loved them. He commanded us to. He wouldn't command us to do something we couldn't do. We don't have a perfect love like Christ, but we can emulate that heroism, that love, that self-sacrifice. Heroic love is sacrificial. True heroism is remarkably undramatic. It is the urge to serve others at whatever cost. The superhero, the comic books, they make heroism very dramatic, right? And at the last moment, they're going to go into the phone booth, Superman, and take off his thing, and he's going to fly through the air, and right before they land, he's going to catch. True heroism, I like that statement, is remarkably undramatic. It's just a desire to serve others at any cost. We need a sacrificial love as we emulate Christ's heroism. Wills Crowther became a hero to strangers who knew him only as the man in the red bandana. Just a few minutes after United Airlines, Flight 175 struck the South Tower of the World Trade Center, 24-year-old Wells called his mother and calmly left a voicemail. Mom, this is Wells. I want you to know that I'm okay. Crowther was an equities trader at Sandler O'Neill and Partners on the 104th floor. But after that call, the man who had been a volunteer firefighter in his teen years made his way down to the 78th floor sky lobby to begin displaying a selfless, sacrificial love for people he had never met. Amidst the smoke, chaos, and debris, Crowther helped injured and disoriented office workers to safety, risking his own life in the process. Though they couldn't see much through the haze, those that he saved recalled a tall figure wearing a red bandana to shield his lungs and mouth. That bandana had been given to him by his father as just a young boy. And for decades, for about 15 years, 18 years, he had carried that red bandana with him everywhere that he went. He had come down to the 78th floor sky lobby, an alcove in the building, with express elevators that was meant to speed up trips to the ground floor. In what's been described as a strong, authoritative voice, Crowther directed survivors to the stairway and encouraged them to help others while he carried an injured woman 15 flights of stairs on his back to safety. After he brought her down to a place where there were first responders that got her to safety, he went back up those 15 floors back to the 78th floor and began helping others. He said, everyone who can stand, stand now, and then directed them to the stairway exit. If you can help others, he said, do so. Ling Young said, he definitely is my guardian angel because without him, I would have been sitting there waiting when the building came down. He was credited with saving at least a dozen people that day. Crowther's body was later recovered alongside firefighters in a stairwell heading back up the tower with the Jaws of Life rescue tool. Great hero, right? Why? Because he showed a sacrificial love. Oh, he could have saved himself, but he said somebody needs help. And because of his willingness, the greater love. I watched a documentary, a 10-minute thing on his life, and I heard his dad quote this very verse. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man laid down his life for his friend. What makes a love heroic is the sacrifice involved. Secondly, heroic love is selfless. Similar thought there, but in verse number 12, this is my commandment. In John 15, verse 12, what does it say? That ye love one another as I have loved you. That ye love one. You know who we love? We love ourselves, don't we? That's why Christ said, love thy neighbor as thyself, because by nature, we all love ourselves. And Christ said, but a heroic love, a true love, great love, heroism is displayed in a selfless love. I don't love people for what I can get back. I don't love people for what they can do for me. No, love one another as I have loved you. What could we give back to Christ? Absolutely nothing. What can we do for Christ? Absolutely nothing, and yet he gave everything. So often we love, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. We love people for what they can do for us. We ought not love people for what we can get back from them. We ought to love people because of the love that has been shown to us. As I have loved you, love one another. We could give him nothing in return, but yet he loved us. We ought to love and love and love and not look for anything or expect anything back. Christ's heroism is displayed in his love. I would suggest to you his superpower, if you will, was love. It's what changed lives. It's what changed me. The love of Christ constraineth us in your life. It's the only thing that will change your relationships. It's the only thing that will change our area. It's the only thing, our church, if it's going to make an impact in this area, it will only do it as our church has a selfless, sacrificial love. Christ's heroism is displayed in his selfless love. When you talk about 9/11, what images automatically come to your mind? Talk to me. What city do you think of immediately when I say 9/11? New York. What buildings do you automatically think of? Twin Towers. Then maybe we'd think after the Twin Towers, what's the next building we'd think of? Pentagon, probably, right? We think about those things immediately at 9/11. We think about the Twin Towers. We think about the Pentagon. You know the one we probably remember the least? Flight 93. The plane that crashed into an empty field in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. But why do we think about it the least? We think about it the least because it caused the least damage and the least amount of fatalities. All 44 on board, of course, were killed. All 44 passengers. But it was the least damage and the least fatalities of any of those things. I was studying it this week and thinking and reading back again some of the accounts. But you know, there's a good chance that Flight 93, had the terrorists had their way, would have been the most well-known of the crashes. Would have been the most well-remembered, the most destructive, if you will. Maybe not in numbers of life, but as far as it relates to the image of what they had done to our nation. But why did it crash in that field? Because of the heroism, the courage, the selfless love of the passengers led by Tom Burnett, Jeremy Glick, Mark Bingham, and Todd Beamer. He who uttered those famous words, "Let's roll." It's believed that that plane was headed for the White House. They said based on it was either the White House or the Capitol building. You don't get much greater significance of standing in what our country stands for than our White House and our Capitol building. That plane was headed that direction, and I can guarantee you that a destroyed and burning White House would have been one of the indelible images of that day. Not to mention the many more lives that would have been lost and people in our government that would have been lost, the damage that would have been done to our nation. Had it not been for the selflessness of the 44 passengers on that flight who chose to lay down their life for the sake of their fellow man and the sake of their country. They were not going to allow evil to march on unhindered. They said, even if it costs us our life, we love our country, we love our fellow man, we're not going to let, they had already heard from loved ones on that plane about the planes going into the other towers. They said, we may lose our lives, but we're not going to let others in our country do that. And so they showed great courage, but where did that come from? A selfless love, a sacrificial love we see from Christ. His heroism, as we're seeking to emulate his heroism, which is just simply his love, his heroic love is without stipulation. What do I mean by that? It's unconditional. He doesn't only love certain groups of people. There's nothing you do to deserve it. What did the Bible tell us in the very familiar verse, John chapter 3:16? For God so loved the what? The what? The world. He loved everybody. He didn't die for one nationality. He didn't die for one group of people. He didn't die for one class of people. He didn't die for one certain group of income. Christ loved the world. His love was without stipulation. It was unconditional. God loves you and God loves me no matter what we've done, no matter where we've been, no matter who we are. God loves you. And then he says, as I have loved you, love one another. Love without stipulation. Well, you don't understand what they did to me. I do understand what I did to Christ. We don't understand how they treated me. I could not possibly love them. That's where true heroism comes in. I do understand how I treated Christ, and yet he still loves me. I understand how I've failed Christ, and yet he still loves me. I understand what we have done. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 8, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the who church? The ungodly. He died for those that were unlovable. He died, he says, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yea, peradventure, for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth, he showed his love toward us in that while we were yet, what? Had nothing to offer him. Christ died for us. Heroic love without stipulation. And we ought to seek to emulate Christ's heroism. Oh, I don't believe I'll ever be giving sight to the blind. I don't believe I'll ever be raising someone from the dead. I don't believe that I'll feed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. I can't emulate those miraculous works, but I can emulate the love of Christ. That heroic love that is sacrificial, that heroic love that is selfless, that heroic love that is without stipulation. In Matthew chapter 11, we're told that he was a friend of publicans and sinners, those that other people didn't want to associate with. That's who Christ said, let me eat with them. He came to love the unlovely, to die for the undeserving, to shed his blood for those who crucified him. Think about that. Let me say that again. To shed his blood for those who crucified him. That's a love without stipulation. There's nothing that we have done to deserve his love. There's nothing we can ever do to deserve it. There's nothing that we can do to lose it. That is heroic love. Romans chapter 5, verse number 10 says, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. When we were enemies, he loved us enough to reconcile us to the Father. And then he says, as I have loved you, love one another. Who is it in your life that you're withholding love? You're withholding kindness. And humanly speaking, it's justified, but biblically speaking, it's not. You've grown bitter. You've grown angry. You've grown upset. You don't know what they did. And that root of bitterness, you know what we need to seek to emulate the character of Christ? The heroism of Christ. That's my main message. 2 more thoughts and we're done. Number 2, I want you to see in this passage, not only is love heroic, number 2, love brings fruit in our lives. Follow along quickly and we'll be done. Verse number 4, we studied this passage during the I Am series. Verse number 4, he says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. He's talking about the fact we need to bear fruit, but it's only going to come through him. Notice verse, he said, so abide in me. Verse number 8, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Here it is, verse 9, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you, continue ye in my love, and if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Christ said, the reason that I can bear fruit, the reason I can make an impact in your life, the reason my life has purpose and significance, Christ said, is because I abide in the Father's love and I show you love. And then he says, now, God wants you to bear fruit in your life. That idea of bearing fruit means he wants you to fulfill your purpose for life. We have so many rotten and dry and barren trees, if we would illustrate our lives. So many lives that are empty and barren. Why? Because we don't understand that it's only through love that fruit is born in our lives. It's only through love that we find our purpose. It's only in loving others that we find the satisfaction in what God, Christ's plan for us. May I say this? Our lives only have significance when we truly learn how to love as Christ loved. That heroic love. Our lives only find purpose when we learn how to love as Christ loved. Our lives only impact others when we learn how to love. You know who's made the biggest difference in your life? Who's impacted you the greatest? The one who showed you great love. The one who sacrificed themselves for you. The one who said, I'm going to put my priorities aside so that I can invest in that person. When you think about whoever it is that's, and your fruit in their lives, if you will, they find joy when they see where you are in life. You know who those people are? The ones who displayed a heroic love, a sacrificial love, a selfless love, a love without stipulation. True fruit in our lives only comes through the heroism of a Christ-like love. He is the vine, and as we abide in his love and show it to others, we find fruit in our lives. And then lastly, love brings fulfillment. Love brings fulfillment. Going back to the idea of love brings fruit, you look at all of those, those that have lost loved ones, and that one, the man in the red bandana, There is great fruit. There are people who his life has impacted. 15 years later, they're still talking about. His memory lives on. There are plaques at the firehouse where he was a teen volunteer. Why was there fruit from his life? Because he found the answer that fruit in our lives, significance, purpose in our lives comes as we express and display a heroic love. Love brings fulfillment. Would you read verse number 11 aloud with me? John 15, verse number 11. I'm going to read that aloud. Ready? Begin. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. That my joy might... These things have I written unto you. What things? That you're supposed to bear fruit. And you're only going to bear fruit if you learn how to love like I loved and love one another. And greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And the only way you're going to have a truly fulfilled life is to learn to love. True joy only comes in the losing of ourselves. True joy, Christ is teaching them, only comes when we display the heroism that is a selfless love in our lives. If you were to be honest today, are you empty in life? Is there a hole where you say, I've accomplished this, I've achieved that, I've made it through the career ladder, I've gone to college, I've done here, I've bought this car, I've gone on this vacation, and you know what? There's just still something missing. We try to fill that hole with all kinds of stuff, don't we? And Christ told us in verse 11, he said, these things I've spoken unto you, that my joy, that joy that can't be taken, joy rises above circumstances, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. True fulfillment, true joy, true what we might call happiness, if you will. Sometimes we get in the rat race of working, saving, spending, buying, experiencing, but it seems like we're constantly looking for more. We're lacking true joy. We're lacking true peace. We're lacking true fulfillment. You want to know when true fulfillment comes? Christ taught it here. It comes when we emulate his heroism. What made him heroic? His love made him heroic. His selfless, sacrificial, without stipulation. And you want to find fulfillment in your life? It's not in getting. And I'm not against saving. I'm not against investing. I'm not against saving for retirement. But it's not in getting to the next level in your portfolio. That's not going to bring a lasting joy, a fulfillment. That's not going to bring the joy of the Lord. You know what it is? Making a difference in the life of somebody else. Giving of the resources that God has given you to impact someone else. And he said, as I have loved you, love one another. And I'm telling you all this so that you can find fulfillment in life. That my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. And so I ask, how does our week look? How does our schedule look? How does our budget look as it relates to heroic, sacrificial, selfless love? Or how much of our week and our efforts and our energies and our finances this week were spent on me and what makes me happy and what meets my needs? We need to seek to emulate Christ's heroism. He came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. And so I ask you this morning, whose hero will you be? Who will you save from the crashing tower of a life without God? What stranger will you share the love of Christ with this week? Who will you invite to Friend Day? What missionary will you pray for this week? What coworker will you witness to this week? What ministry in the local church will you dedicate yourself to service to others through? Those are all acts of heroism. They're all acts of Christ-like selfless love. How will you emulate the heroism of Christ? His heroism is found in his love. You say, I can't really make that big of a difference. The need is too great. My time, my talents, the money that I have, I can't make a difference in so many lives. I was with Brother Scott Van Ness just a couple of weeks ago. We were with our children at the Ground Zero Memorial. And I was struck, first time I had been in New York City about 2 weeks ago. We were just there for about 36 hours, and I visited with my kids that Ground Zero Memorial. And it's hard to get a feel for the scope of it from that picture. That is the footprint of the building, and it's the largest man-made waterfall there. It's a waterfall on all four sides, they say, to depict the tears that were running from the grief of that day. And as I stood there, it was a sobering, sad reminder, and it was hard to believe. 10 people created all of that destruction. 10 people created all of that. September 11th is etched into history as a day when the world was literally changed. Perspectives on life were altered. Daily living was affected. The global economy recoiled. Terminology like ground zero became a commonly used and understood word. And it's hard to believe that all of these changes in our society and in our world were brought about by fewer than 24 men. When standing at ground zero, for me, it was surreal to realize only 10 men were needed to cause such incredible devastation. How could so few do so much? May I say this? Thankfully, evil doesn't have a monopoly on change. In fact, the Bible tells us, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We have seen what Satan can do through a small band of committed terrorists. What could God do through an army of devoted Christ followers committed to emulating the heroic love of Jesus Christ in every part of their lives? In every part of our lives, if 10 men could create that kind of destruction, what could an army of Christians, Christ followers who understand the love of Christ, as we go out, how could God use us to change our world, to change our neighbor, to change our coworker, to change our family, to change our region, through our giving, to change missions works all around the world? Yes, a few men could create great destruction, but may I say, God turned the world upside down with 12 men as well. Christ can change the world, but it's only through that love. So this week, let's go out and be heroic as Christ was heroic. What does that really mean? It's just love. Selfless, sacrificial love. Let's love as Christ loved. What is a villain? A villain is a self-centered, evil person intent on hurting others and living for himself. What is a hero? Someone willing to do anything to help and meet the needs of others. And may I say this, my last thought. If you've never accepted the love of Christ for yourself as your personal Savior, before you worry about sharing love with someone else, you need to accept Christ's love for yourself. When the World Trade Center towers collapsed on that day, 69% of the fatalities occurred with people who were at or above the entry points of the jets. In the South Tower, 600 civilians died above the plane's impact. Unknown to them was the fact that there was an open staircase that connected the upper floors to the street below. Of the hundreds who were trapped on the top 33 floors, only 18 people found that staircase. The tragedy is horrible enough, but think how many more could have been saved had they known about the open stairway. The gospel of Jesus Christ is much like that life-saving staircase. Only those who find it can escape certain death and find eternal life. There is a way of eternal escape and salvation, but it's only through Christ. The Bible says that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And you and I, I mourn for our country, and I remember those that lost lives, and I've prayed already today for their family members today. But far worse than being trapped in a burning building and losing your physical life is to lose your spiritual life and be trapped in hell for eternity. Never know knowing that there was a way of escape. There was a staircase that led to Christ. There's one way, and that was through faith and trust in Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning and you've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior, don't walk out this room. Don't leave this place without saying, Christ, I accept you as my personal Savior. I'm placing my faith and my trust in you alone. I repent of my sins and accept you as my Savior. Make today the day of your salvation. And if you know Christ, as we're reminded of all the heroes of 9/11, and there were many, thousands of amazing public servants that rushed into the face of danger while others were running. And I'm not criticizing those that ran, but there are some amazing heroes. Why do we call them heroes? Because they laid down their life from a heart of love. And you know what Christ said? He was the greatest hero. You know what he said? As I have loved you, love one another. So many Christians, we're living for ourselves, and Christ said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed on this 9/11, I've tried to preach a clear message as God gave it to me. You're sitting in this room and nobody looking around, you would say, there has been a time when I did find that spiritual escape, if you will. I did trust Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. There's been a time and a place where I accepted Christ as my personal Savior. If I were to die today, I'm 100% sure that I would go to heaven. I remember a time and a place when I accepted Christ. Would you slip your hands up, Pastor? I know for sure if I were to die that I would go to heaven. I've accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. Thank you. You can put your hands down. I appreciate the honesty. Some did not raise their hands this morning. If that's you, you say, Pastor, you're talking about that, and I don't know 100% sure if I were to die that I would go to heaven. I don't know for sure. I've never accepted. There's never been a time and a place in my life that I accepted Christ. Pastor, being honest with God, I don't know Jesus as my personal Savior. Would you pray for me? I don't know that. I'd like to slip your hand. I'd like to pray with you. Would you slip your hand up? I won't embarrass you. Pastor, I don't know Christ as Savior. If I died today, I'm not 100% sure I'd go to heaven. Would you pray for me? I'd like to pray with you. It's the most important decision you'll ever make. And then how many of us would say, you know, I haven't loved those that God has put in my life as Christ has told me to. I saw something specific from God's word this morning. I saw something that I need to emulate the heroism of Christ, the love of Christ for my fellow man. I've been a little self-centered. I know I was convicted as I prepared for this message. How many would say, Pastor, God spoke directly in my heart. Would you pray with me that I would seek to implement this into my life? I'd like to pray with you. Slip your hand up. I see many, many hands up. Thank you for your responsiveness to God's word. In just a moment, I'm going to ask you to stand, and when I do, the piano will play. We open the altar. We call it an invitation. It's an invite for you to step out of your seat. You can come forward and pray. Maybe you're praying for a family member. Maybe you're praying that God would help you to share the love of Christ more than you have been, to love others as he loved them. Maybe you have a question about what you've heard today. Maybe you want somebody to show you from God's word how you can know Christ as Savior. When the piano plays, step out of your seat and come forward. We'd be honored to have a man talk to a man, a lady with a lady. If you have a special need, prayer need in your life, we'd be honored to pray with you. Let's stand together. The piano begins to play. If God has spoken to your heart and you'd like to slip out, the altar's open in the quietness of this moment. Let's pray and ask God to help us to emulate the heroism of Christ. If we can pray with you about any need, answer any questions from God's word for you, we'd be honored to do so. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. As we remember the heroes on 9/11, let us draw our focus to he who knew no sin, but he laid down his life that all of us could have an opportunity to be saved. And then, as he has loved us, may we love one another. Lord, I thank you for your word. I pray that, God, I would have communicated the thoughts you gave me clearly. I pray that they wouldn't have heard my word or my wisdom, but God, it would have been your spirit that spoke to each life that took the time to be in church today. May it change our lives in the way we treat our family members, in the way we treat those we work with on a daily basis, in the way we treat those we live around, in the way we treat our fellow man. I pray that all across Orange County there would be those that are emulating the heroism of Christ, sharing the love of Christ in a sacrificial, selfless way without stipulation. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.